You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop and Stuart Robson here in the studio. We'll start whether Sheffield United fans like it or not at Bramall Lane, where, of course, they entertained Arsenal. Well, in fact, Arsenal entertained them, I suppose, in the end, beating them by 6-0. Six different goal scorers for Arsenal as they continue this incredible run of scoring goals for fun, home and away. They've outscored opponents now 31-3 in their last seven games. They are the first English in... let me do all that.
That was... <Let's> do that.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Shaka Hislop and Stuart Robson. We'll kick things off in the Premier League. Just the one game on Monday, but it provided plenty of goals. Well, for Arsenal anyway, six of them they put past Sheffield United. You had six different goal scorers as well, and it was a record-breaking performance from Arsenal, who are absolutely flying at the moment. They've outscored opponents 31-3 in their last seven matches. They are the first English club to win three straight-away games by five or more goals. Meanwhile, very much at the opposite end of the spectrum, Sheffield United are the first English club to lose three straight games at home by five or more goals. So, big picture, Sheffield United done, they're relegated. But what about the title race? It's going to be brilliant, isn't it? 11 matches to go, just 2 points separate the top three. That win for Arsenal actually may be significant, not only for the points, but for the goal difference as well. For more on this, let's get some guests in, shall we? Mario is with us, Nadim as well. Let's start with the positives for Arsenal. They were brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. And what they do so well is they can play in tight areas. When they're in the top third of the field and they're in and around the box, they're even better than Manchester City at finding the right pass at the right time. And they make it look so easy. There's nothing clever about what they do. They just find the right pass. And if you watch them train before the game, when they have their warm-up, they play those little triangles on the corner of the penalty box for 20 minutes before they go out on the pitch. So it's something they work at all the time. And plus, you've got Martinelli, who can run like the wind down the left-hand side. And you've got Saka, as you mentioned, was absolutely brilliant. And Declan Rice, because Jorginho was playing, Declan Rice can then make forward runs.
Yep.
Havertz led the line much better than he had done before. I thought it was an outstanding performance. And at the moment, I would say they're almost unplayable.
When they had that little mini break, we were like, this is Manchester City's time to shine now. They're going to work their way through the gears, as they have over recent seasons when they went on to the league title. But you see Arsenal bettering them in this run, and this is such an important time of the season.
I think Arsenal are playing the best football in the league, but bar none. And they do have a little bit of catching up to do, well, a couple of points with everybody else. But the top two are just kind of purring along so nicely. But saying that, you look at Arsenal, and I spoke about them. I remember speaking about them defensively earlier in the season, about how hardworking they were. And without question, I think Arsenal, as a team, are the hardest working team in the league. The Declan Rice goal, if you look at his movement in the box, never switches off, never stops running, and all of a sudden, he's in the perfect place to pick up the ball from Bukayo Saka. And that just kind of speaks to not just Declan Rice and his impact, but how everybody at Arsenal continues to work everywhere on the park. And it's showing in terms of results. They had their little mini break, and all of a sudden, they seem to have pressed a reset. Arteta has got this team right where he needs them to be. Mm-hmm. At a time where we're normally talking about City peaking, City putting distance between them and everybody else, Arsenal, for me, again, are the ones that are showing no signs of slowing down. Added to that, and while Martinelli does limp off, Thomas Partey gets minutes. And you just wonder, as those players come back into the fold, how that enhances Arsenal and this title running?
The biggest thing I would say is that at the moment, teams can get 10 men behind the ball, and it's difficult to break them down. Mm-hmm. When teams get 10 men behind the ball, Arsenal have no problems about breaking them down. Sheffield United came out and they were going to be defensive. From the very first minute, Arsenal created two or three chances in the very first minute. Mm. And it was just because they're so clever in and around the box.
Mario, how would you handle Saka? And don't say kick him.
No, that was for me also. I felt so sorry for Trussi, you know, like the way he was standing. And he was trying to show him to go outside, but then he went outside and the speed of him, it's just very, very difficult to stop. The only thing you can do, I think, when you play against a fast player, you got to make sure that you know exactly where the space is. So regardless if you show him the outside, you got to also know that you know that space is there. And that's the one that he's going to hit to. But you also got to make sure that you can keep up with that speed of him. Because he showed him that angle and he just went. And it was that was in the beginning of the game, man. That was not like this happens later in the game. This was right after, what, 3-4 minutes? He was gone. So there is always a battle, I think. When you play against a fullback, there is always a battle. The battle starts with the game. It's a psychological thing. It's like, am I going to make sure that I set you ready to make sure that you know, like, it's going to be a tough game for you? And the opponent, the attacker thinks, let me test him and see what I can get out of this game. Now, after a couple of minutes, you already knew, Saka, this is going to be my game.
Nadim, don't take this personally, but what's it like when you suffer such a bad defeat and there's still lots of time left in the game? Like, as we saw fans leaving at 3-0, 5-0 at half-time. How do you cope?
Listen, Dan, I feel that's a personal attack, but I'll answer the question anyway. I think when you, I've played in games, to be fair, when, you know, after 10 minutes, you're a goal down, 20 minutes, you're 2 goals down. And to be honest, because I saw Man United win a game 9-0 in the 90s, I'm always doing the math thinking, is this going to be me next? Is this what's going to happen to our team? And I think for Sheffield United, given the fact that in recent weeks conceded so many goals at home, I think it's 5 in the last 3 games or whatever it is, then the last team they needed to be playing in this moment was Arsenal. As the guys were saying, this is an Arsenal side who are probably playing the best football in the league, probably some of the best football around Europe at this moment in time. They have so much belief, they have so much quality, and it's sort of playing to the opposition's weaknesses as well. So I think from being on the field when your team's really struggling, like, you want to have an impact, maybe go and make a big tackle, maybe someone go and take the ball up the field. But I think what Arsenal do so well is they never allow you the chance to do that. If you want to make a big tackle, well, too bad, because they move the ball too quickly. If you make a tackle and you've got the ball, all of a sudden you're being swarmed on by 2-3 players. And then to think, oh, I can't risk it. So you get rid of it. Well, you get rid of it, you're not going to see it again for 10 minutes now. And I think ultimately the way that they set up at this moment in time is as good as any team that we've seen so far this season. And yeah, sometimes you're hoping that they miss the chances, because for some of the games which they've lost this year, that has been a big criticism. But the general play itself, I think it's great to see. They're so well coached, they're so well drilled, and they've got so much confidence in themselves and in each other that when you go and play against them, you know you're going to be in for a very tough game. So when you don't have the same talent as them, as I say, you're hoping they miss chances because they don't give you anything at all.
A lot of talk during the January transfer window was that Arsenal need a striker. Mm. They need someone to come in at number 9 to take them over the line. Mm. Since those discussions, Kai Havertz has kind of played in that role. Why has that worked?
Because he's got more confidence now. They're having the ball in the top third of the field more. So he's not having to make runs in behind. He's not receiving the ball from deep positions. They're clever around the box. And he's a clever player around the box. He's not having to be quite so physical. I mean, his 1- and 2-touch play today was good. He ran down the side of defenders for his goal. He's finishing well. And of course, when he comes off, Jesus is now back fit, and he looked sharp and strong when he came on. So that's not an issue now, because everyone, as you said, everyone was saying, well, Arsenal just, no, they can't finish things off.
Yeah.
Well, they've proved us wrong. You know, scored 5 goals in the last three, over the last 3 games, plus.
Scoring goals for fun. Just back to Sheffield United, Mario. What do you think Chris Wilder said at half time?
Hey, look, when things like this happen, the only thing, okay, when something like this happened to myself, I remember I had a coach like Steve Bruce. What we did, he said to us, like, okay, the first half you already lost, so don't make the second half as worse as the first one. So now they come out again, and the way they were set up already, we already know that the system of play always play 5 at the back. But sometimes you pack the box so much that you're in each other's area. And I think that's what's key. Also why, because the way Arsenal is set up, eh? Like you guys already mentioned it, with Rice and, you know, with Jorginho playing. And that gives Odegaard and Rice the opportunity now to be freer in the sense of, like, knowing that there is a body behind me that can help me out. And I think the way they set that up was also because they knew what they were going to be facing, a team that was going to sit back and try to minimize the space behind the defensive line. So the only way for Arsenal to start the game first was to open up right through the middle. And when they then commit to try to play out, because even I saw it a couple of times when Sheffield had the ball, I think it looked like a team that almost like, you know, when you have the ball and you're taking risk and try to build up from the back, it's almost saying to your team, like, it's not a good thing what we're doing, but we're going to do it anyway because he trained it. While Sheffield is not in the situation now to play the beautiful football, they need to go long and try to maximize the potential in the sense of, like, putting it further ahead of your goal instead of, like, playing the game right in front of your goal, because then you're inviting Arsenal, a team like that that plays that good football. That's just, that's not smart at all.
Of course, the reason these goals are so significant is that in the Premier League, as we see in the Bundesliga, it is goal difference that separates the sides if they're level on points come the end of the season. Meanwhile, in Italy and Spain, it's head-to-head. How did you get on with that opponent that you finished level with? So, very busy today, I put out a poll to ask people what they prefer, goal difference or head-to-head. You can see it's close. 56% prefers goal difference over head-to-head. How would you have voted, Shaq?
I probably would have voted goal difference. Like, all the football I've ever played, it's been goal difference has been a deciding factor. So I've never had to kind of deal with the head-to-head as being as important as goal difference. And that's just kind of the old school, what I'm used to.
Right.
Yeah, goal difference is over a course of a season. Head-to-head, you're just talking about a couple of games.
But a couple of key games against the people that you ended up tied with.
But I still think goal difference.
Why should you be rewarded for putting six past Sheffield United when your opponents only put four?
Well, that's maybe the other team didn't go right to the end. And that's why, at the moment, you can't stop games. You know, we used to say, don't play any added-on time when the score's 6-0. But they had to play the extra 5 minutes today because they might score another goal and it might help the goal difference. So I'm all for goal difference, I've got to say.
What about you, Nadim?
To be honest, having been somebody that's only ever done goal difference until I went to MLS, I think the head-to-head thing, I don't mind it, you know. And I know some people in England will be, oh, this is outrageous. Why would you think such a thing? I think it sort of makes the value of that second game against that other side so much more important. You know, if you lose that first game against a side that's going to be up near the top with you, the importance of winning and winning well means that if you do that, that does count as an extra point as such. Whereas I think with goal difference, obviously, every game itself is different. There are different modes. And as Stuart was saying and Czech was saying, it does matter. But I like that element of head-to-head because then, say if you do go and win a league above someone because you beat them twice, you will feel like you were the better team, even if the other team managed to score more goals in games, you know, that didn't feature you at all.
Mario?
I got goal difference. Why? Because I think, like, when people come to the stadium, they want to see your score. I mean, also because of my past, right, where I come from, it was always like we say we keep the ball, control the game, and score more goals than them, so we win the game anyway. That was like kind of, that's the Ajax system. And I mean, if you listen to Guardiola, that's the similar kind of way he looks at the game, and I think Arsenal is doing similarities too. Yeah, we want to score so many goals as we can and try to win beautiful. Of course, later on in your career, I played maybe for other teams that thought they were thinking the other way around. But in the beginning, I was definitely built like that, and I think that's for me the best way.
Well, we know it's going to be close. Whether it's going to be so close, goal difference will come into play. We'll only find out at the end of the season. But the next three games, very much significant when you take a look at who's playing who. And the standout one is Manchester City, isn't it? You go to Anfield, you know, home against Arsenal, home against Aston Villa, who, of course, beat you convincingly earlier on in the season. Ooh, Nadim, ooh.
Hold on. Did you say you? Like, I'm playing. I don't play, Dan. I work for you.
No,
you know
I mean? It was no, it was
there
wasn't
friend.
A you. It was,
yeah,
it was sorry. Let me just
really
change the tone of it.
Out.
It was more of a ooh.
Yeah, I think as far as City go, if you believe that they're going to be winning the title, then you believe that they probably have to win these three games. And to see them just go back to back to back with a Champions League game in there, with an FA Cup tie in there as well, then these are enormous games. Usually, it's a cliche to say every game's a cup final, but that this is it. This is the moment. I think if they drop points in this window, it's going to be very, very hard for them to catch a side like Arsenal, who are playing some of the best football we've ever seen from them. And then from like Liverpool as well, who are going to be bringing more and more players back, who have that feeling and they know the importance of it being the last season with their current manager. But it's Man City. They are capable of doing it. But it's also the Premier League, whereby you can never say anything's guaranteed apart from Arsenal winning away at Sheffield United.
Is it win all three or bust for the defending champions?
I'm not sure it's bust completely. I think the two big games, Liverpool, I don't think Liverpool are going to win all their games from now to the end of the season.
Is it avoid defeat?
I think avoid defeat against Liverpool,
yeah.
But I think they need to beat Arsenal.
Do you think because of the
form? The way Arsenal are playing at the moment,
yeah.
The confidence that Arsenal have got and the way they play against the weaker sides where they're just destroying teams, that game is massive for me. Manchester City versus Arsenal. Remember, Arsenal beat Manchester City in the game earlier on in the season. Man City are going to have to play at their very, very best.
I fully agree. And then when you look at Arsenal's remaining fixtures, the big test comes, well, not just away to City, they're away to Spurs, they're away to United, where you count that as a significant test. But other than that, the only other test is home to Villa. Apart from that, this version of Arsenal, you don't see them dropping points.
Right.
And as a result, the onus comes on City to give themselves, to beat Arsenal, to give themselves that little bit of leeway.
Mario made a good point when he talked about how you're going to play against Arsenal. There's only one way you're going to beat Arsenal at the moment, and that's to say, OK, we're going to put players in forward areas and we're going to go long. We're going to test their two centre-halves. We're going to test what is White a really good defender when the going gets tough, and not sit back and allow Arsenal to play their football, then be creative in and around the box. Let's put them under a bit of pressure. Go, I'm not talking about Man City, because Man City can play, but other teams, go long, let's put them under a bit of pressure and make them have to fight for their victory.
If I offered you 5 points from those three games, would you take it with a draw against Liverpool and Arsenal, Nathan?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to say no, because I think the mentality amongst that group of players is one whereby, you know, they gain momentum with wins and belief with wins, and I don't think draws themselves, I don't think they'll really help them in the long run. Say if they draw against Liverpool this week, then Arsenal will likely win their game and they'll be top. So then that draw against Arsenal now means that you're going to be chasing those other teams, hoping that they're dropping points, which is not something that I think City will believe that they want to be doing going into this final stage of the season. So unfortunately, Dan, I'm not going to take your hand off. I'm going to say no. I think they probably need more.
You're going to twist. May live to regret that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Foden, of course, was the star of the show as City beat Manchester United yesterday in the England internationals, grabbing all the headlines. Shooting star, sharp shooter, Foden-like genius. Foden comes of age. City have feel-good factor. This is what Pep Guardiola had to say about his star attacker. He's the best player in the Premier League right now. For the amount of things he does, unbelievable. He's right now the best so far. He was always a talented player, but now he is more mature and understands more the game, especially defensively. He can play middle, right, make moments and cut inside, play in the left, scoring from the left. Mario, what do you think? Best player in the Premier League?
I think he's definitely up there. I think he's very talented. The key thing for a young boy to win that much so early on and keeping his cool. I think when people talk about Foden, they also have to understand that it took him a long time to be like the, one of the first picks in the starting 11. And you could see in his face, you know, when you're young and the coach doesn't make you play straight away, sometimes you get annoyed. And you could see it sometimes. He was also like, but he stayed calm. And he kept believing in what Pep was doing with him. And now, eventually, he gets into the position where he wants to be, because he's probably, you know, when, you know what the best part is when you're a footballer? When you sit before the game and he's going to put the starting lineup and you know your name is popping up straight away. And I think this is the reason why. You understand? When you make strikes like this, he comes in, okay, Silva did a great job of pulling away from him and then opening up the space. And then he comes back here, takes the ball in the run. The thing also, you could see that the reaction of the other players around him, even if when they want to defend him, he thinks very, very fast for a young boy. Normally when you're that young, I always used to say it when I don't want to compare him to Rooney, but Rooney had that, is the sensibility of having players around you, but then you are always a step ahead of any defender that's playing against you. So when he thinks he's going to have you short, he goes long. When he thinks, oh, he's going to go long, he comes in the pocket and picks up the ball. So between the line is what football is now about. And I think Foden is a perfect example of picking up the ball between the lines, because he can really move away from where pressure is, find the space where the space is to turn, and then make the action.
I think it's fair to say a common factor in football, wherever you are in the world, whatever club you support, there's that extra special bond you have with players that have come through your youth system, of course Foden has done at City, Nathan.
Yeah, it certainly is the case. And obviously from the United side of things, seeing Rashford score, I'm sure their fans were delighted with that. But Foden, you know, he's the star of Man City. People knew about him from when he was in the academy from a young age, knowing he was this youngster who's this big prodigy who supports the football club, who apparently will get the chance. But for those first few years, you know, who's standing in his way? David Silva. You know, he wasn't too bad a player, was he? So I think for him to get the opportunity from very young, for him to have played the amount of games that he's played through these years, and to almost face disappointment towards the end of last season, because he wasn't one of the starters in probably the most, well, in the club's most sort of successful season ever. But he's come in this year with the availability thing that he had over Kevin De Bruyne, who was unavailable, played more central, has gotten into a run of games. And as the stats showed, he's played 40 games already this year. That's somebody that's in a flow, 18 goals, 10 assists in that time. This is a guy that really understands his role, he's enjoying his football. And as Pep said, he can play off the left, play off the right, play centrally. But he's trusted by Pep Guardiola because he can defend as well. So it's great to see from a Man City perspective, a youngster coming through and being that good. And he plays like a senior player, even though he's only 23 years of age. He's a joy to watch when he's sort of feeling himself like this. He's playing a different sport to so many other people on that field.
Meanwhile, Manchester United still licking their wounds, obviously, after that defeat. Let's just remind you what Ten Hag had to say after the game. It's not that big a gap. And when we have everyone on board, we can be competitive. I think also we showed in the cup final against them when it was really close, but City is in the moment the best team in the world. Don't forget this. We were really close to winning or at least getting a point here. Robert, what do you make? When we've got everyone on board, we can be competitive.
No, I'm not having it really. Manchester City are miles better than Manchester United. They've got a better manager. They play better style of football. They've got more creativity in the attacking areas. They're better defensively. And they know what they're doing. Whenever I watch Manchester United, I'm not quite sure what you're going to get from Manchester United. There's a bit more solidity in some of the ways they play. But the way they set up yesterday and the way they were destroyed by Manchester City, and I know they went 1-0 up in the first half, you know, with Rashford's goal. But Man City, every time they went forward, they looked as though they were going to score. It was only by a little bit of luck and good goalkeeping and maybe one or two blocks. You can't win football games playing like that week in, week out. There's a massive gulf between Man City and Manchester United.
How things have changed, Mario. Manchester United, from when you were playing and coming up through the Premier League to that side now.
Yeah, a lot of things, because, you know, like the way, you know, you guys already talked about, but the biggest thing now is Man United was never a team that would sit back dead long and wait for a moment. They were waiting for a mistake from City. And you play Rashford and Garnacho up front and then hoping that you can catch them on the break. Okay, by the speed. Okay, some of the things, the counterattacks were really good. I mean, Rashford first goal, Garnacho got through, you know, the second half. You know, Rashford has also a moment when Walker, when he comes through. So you can play that game, but you cannot play it that long because the energy level started to drop. And the first half, you could see they were sitting back, waiting for something to happen and hit them on the break. That didn't come across. They didn't see that because City, what City does well, they hold the ball in the team that long that it frustrates you and also makes you commit forward because you get annoyed. Because we cannot stay calm that long. How long are you going to wait? So many minutes before you can clutch the ball? It's too long for a footballer. That's why we're not playing football. And then City kept on going, pulling them out. Okay, you score the first goal. Then they're going to commit and try to make an equalizer. And then what happened for me, the key thing, was you're waiting for the space behind Manchester City. But City never makes a team that cannot cope with 40 yards behind them. And I can guarantee you Ten Hag wanted to play that, but Ten Hag is his background. Ajax's background is playing like City, yeah? So it must hurt him playing against a City team while he wants to play like City.
Nadim, imagine telling a little young Nadim growing up as a Manchester City fan that this would now be the norm these days.
Hey, listen, Dan, late 90s, there were no derbies because City were in the Football League. So it is strange to see this be the way forward. But, you know, this is United. They've had their issues. They've had their issues for many, many years now. And it is crazy to see, look, even looking at those statistics, Man United with 26% possession and 11 versus 11. Three shots, one on target. Like, for me, the way that game went, obviously the result could have been whatever it was, but there was a team that was in control of possession, in control of the game. Another team that was just taking part as such. And it's strange to see them play in that manner for a side that's been so dominant for as long as they have been. And even though that team isn't Ten Hag's first choice by any means, the fact is I still would have expected them to do more because there'll be teams who go to the Etihad with less talented players than United will, and they'll have more possession, they'll have more shots, they'll have more of a say in terms of how the game goes. But instead, it's almost like they relinquished all of that and they basically just got taken for a ride. And as the guys were saying, like when you drop off that much and you're not in any control whatsoever, you will get tired. You'll start to make decisions in the wrong manner as the game progresses. It's almost like, for me, the analogy was, like, if in theory you wanted to get fit or whatever, it's very different to when you're setting the pace as opposed to somebody saying to you, right, you're coming with me, we're going to go for a run. You'll get more tired when you don't have any control over anything that's going on. I think that's what was showing for United in the game yesterday. And I'm sure those players, as they walked off the pitch, they wouldn't have thought, oh, we nearly got something. I think they'll be hugely disappointed because any talent that they do have, at no point was it maximised in a game where it could have been yesterday. And I'm sure there's going to be a huge level of disappointment and sort of looking in the mirror thinking, well, where are we as a football team and as a club right now?
Yeah, and I think this is when we have everyone on board, we can be competitive. What is that? That's a nothing statement.
It's a nothing statement, but a nothing statement that Ten Hag just seems to believe in. And this is not the first time we've heard anything, something similar from Ten Hag. There's nothing new this week. He said similar after Forest. I mean, and that for me is the frustrating thing because...
He's gone, isn't he? He's a dead man.
He's contradicted himself because one minute he's saying the gap's not too big, but by playing the style of football he played, he's admitting that we are nowhere near Manchester City. No, we can't contest a midfield battle. We're not going to have any of the ball, so we are miles away. So he's contradicting himself.
Who would you bring in, Robert? Who's
at the moment?
There's so many problems within this club, and Chelsea have proven you just can't throw money at things over and over again and try and get a result.
Of course, I'm not a great fan of him, but Thomas Tuchel will be up for every job going. Now he's left behind after having a poor time. But remember, he won the Champions League with Chelsea.
Yeah.
So people will still see him as a good manager.
It's a speculation, it's talk, isn't it? And rumours that will continue, I imagine, right up until the summer. Just a reminder, more reaction to what happened with City's win over Manchester United, plus a lot about the rest of the world of football on the latest edition of Gavin Jules podcast, which is available now.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What a year it's been for Inter Milan. A 2-1 victory over Genoa would see them extend their lead to 15 points at the top of Serie A. They'll be champions there. But what about the Champions League? Where do they stand? 17-2 at the moment. Remember, finalists last year. They've got that experience to bring to the table. But of course, first off, they've got to get past Atletico Madrid. But they do have a 1-0 lead going into the Spanish capital, Robert.
It's going to be difficult for them. I think they're a much better side at the moment than Atletico Madrid, who we've seen on many occasions being consistent. Inter have got a great front pairing, Thuram and Martinez. They've got a good understanding. They play with wing-backs that like to get forward. Dumfries came off at half-time today and Darmian came on. DiMarco, I think, has been excellent down the left-hand side. And Barella and Mkhitaryan are much better... Mkhitaryan's a much better player at Inter than he has been anywhere else he's been, as far as I'm concerned. And the player that you're missing there is Bastoni, who could come onto the left-hand side, who's an excellent player as well.
But for Atleti, it's that atmosphere, isn't it? The Metropolitano, where they have been so brilliant this season, although we did see Athletic Club go there and, of course, get a win in the Copa del Rey. That home advantage is going to be the 12th man, and they're going to need it, aren't they?
They absolutely will. And you know Simeone is going to have Atletico Madrid wound right up. Good response after losing to Bilbao, as you mentioned. And this frustrating big fish almost seems exactly what Atletico Madrid and Diego Simeone are cut out to do. So it will be a tough tie for Inter going into Madrid, as you mentioned. Tough one to call.
That's next week. Who are you going to call, Shaq?
I lean Inter to get a draw and go through.
Yeah,
100% draw, I think it's going to be.
Meanwhile, Barcelona in action, aren't they? Against Napoli next week in the Champions League. But more bad news for Xavi. And this could really make a big difference to whether or not they'll get past the Italian side. Sport sums it up. Rotos, broken. Of course, we saw Pedri go off and De Jong in the first half. Both won't be available for the second leg. You said yesterday, Robert, when we were talking about the possibility of Barca not making it through, that it'd be fine because Napoli aren't very good. But these are big, big blows, aren't they?
I think De Jong is the biggest blow.
Yeah.
I mean, Pedri is a blow, but he hasn't been in his top form this season. He's had his injury problems. But De Jong just... He sort of guides them through. He's the one that controls the pace of the game. He's the one that when the ball comes into him, he can manipulate the ball and get other players, give other players enough time to make their runs. Christensen, as the holding midfield player, which he's going to possibly be, doesn't give them that. And I'm not sure where else they're going to get. Gundogan will probably have to play deeper. Mm. It's a worry, but I still think... still think there's enough good players... Oof. For Barcelona, that will cause Napoli a problem.
Remember, it's 1-1, Shaq, going into this second leg. Barca were the better team in the first.
And I don't, as I said yesterday, I don't have faith in a full-strength Barcelona.
Wow.
And now you lose two players. De Jong, for the reasons that Robbo just mentioned. I feel Pedro is such an emotional player for them. Him not being involved as well. And while Napoli certainly last season's standards, this season has been such a disappointment, this is an opportunity for them. This is an opportunity to right some of the wrongs that they've kind of manufactured during the course of this season. I just feel Napoli. I and not so much that I believe in Napoli. It's just that I have that little faith in Barcelona.
OK. That, of course, is in the Champions League in its current format. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen, as I explain beautifully and very clearly about what will happen next year. So forget the group stages. They will be done. There will be a big league of 36 teams. The draw will be made in which you'll play two teams from each of your side of the league. So the league's cut up into four, yeah?
Four pots.
Four different pots. Mm-hmm. Pot one being your big teams, mm-hmm. pot four being your rubbish teams. So everyone will play two from pot one, not the same team, different teams, mm-hmm. home and away. Two from pot two, two from pot three, two from pot four. At the end of that, if you're in the top eight, if you've accrued enough points to put you in the top eight, you are straight through to the round of 16. So then you've got eight other teams, yes, that can make it. Mm-hmm. So you take that from the next part of the league. They play each other home and away, as we see now in the knockout stages, and they then book a place into the round of 16. If you're below 28, you're done. There's right. no dropping into the Europa League. You are out of European competition altogether. So 25th or lower, you're done. If you're between 24 and 9th, then you play in this play-in system.
Playoff. Play another right. playoff.
Exactly. Two-leg playoff.
Yeah. Nadim, did I explain that clearly? Are you with it?
Yeah, Dan, you did such a great job. Such a great job. You'll unlikely have to ever describe that again. You did such a good job, Dan. But yeah,
no, well done, I can explain Dan. It again. Well no done. Problem. Nailed I'm all it. Over
now,
it.
Now we're good. Now we're good.
I watched right. the video. It's all fine. Do you like this, Nadim, this new format?
It's different. It is different. I think it'll be interesting to see how we sort of like draw up the table of 36. And sort of have some of those permutations in there, knowing that, well, this team's going to go there, that team's going to go there, and so on and so forth. But I don't mind the idea of it being new. I think football is something which essentially is quite conservative by nature, but some new things make perfect sense. And I'll be very interested to see how this goes and to see the difference in points between the team that finishes ninth and the one that finishes 24th, and whether you feel, you know, by the time it's the knockout rounds, whether those teams should be competing against each other. Well, given the fact the team in ninth might be a point away from eighth, but the one in 24th, you know, they might be a million miles away from it.
What they want as well, they want extra games. We're going to get two extra games, more money, of course. And then you're going to get bigger games because you're going to see teams like Real Madrid facing two other opponents of that same level. So that's what they want to bring to the table. And also, they want every game to matter, which they feel in this format, this will be more effective, Mario.
Yeah, I get that. But one of the key things what I only have with this, because, you know, like I knew this was coming because they've been building this for a long time. The thing for me is I just hope that if you add more teams to it, you're going to get more games. When you add more games, the guys are going to play more games and then you get fatigue sometimes. I hope that the quality, that's the only thing. To have more games and more entertainment, of course. I'm an entertainer too. I love watching, you know, football. But one thing I don't want to see players being outrun in the sense of like overrun, overplayed and everything. So the quality of the game drops. That's the only thing. But away from that, no. If they can handle more games, and definitely you're going to have some teams. We cannot get away anymore with a okay team. If you have 11 players, you need more than that. Because if you want to compete in this, and also at home in your own league, and then having them in the Champions League, because everybody focuses on that, because the budgets are great. I've seen clubs, like when I came to Chelsea, for example, they couldn't even finish the training ground because they missed the Champions League for a couple of seasons. So not because they didn't have the finance, but because clubs are building themselves around it because they want to activate the finance that they get from the Champions League and put that in work for maximize the potential of growing as a club. So that's the only thing I want, the quality to stay on the field and making sure that we get entertained to the highest level.
Do you want me to explain it again to you, Shane?
No.
Are you on it? Are you sure?
I,
do you like it?
My most immediate concern, and which Mario touched on, is that you're adding games to a calendar that is already packed as is.
And also, of course, as I mentioned, the idea is that every game matters, so you can't necessarily rest players for the fifth and sixth round.
You know, and that for me is well, my primary concern around how packed the calendar already is and all kinds of suggestions about adding more international games and of all descriptions. So that for me, I'm not awfully thrilled about. Other than that, I'll have to wait to see how the competition kind of pans out. And while, listen, I understand, yes, top teams will be playing each other, or there's a possibility of them playing each other earlier in the competition. I need to see how that kind of works out later on in the Champions League in terms of the excitement and in terms of what's to come. My only other concern is, in listening to UEFA's announcement, quite clearly they have the Super League in their sights. Straight away they talk about, well, this is an open league that you qualify for from sport. That is a direct attack at the European Super League. Now, my concern is, do you craft this competition just because of the Super League? Not because you think it's better, not because you think it's going to improve on the current format, but because the Super League was such a threat a couple of years ago that you feel that you had to do something. I will never buy into let's just do something because.
I don't worry about the Champions League. That would be a great tournament. I'm sure it will be. But I worry for domestic football. You know, when you're talking about resting players, and Mario was talking about players being overplayed, where do you stop them playing? Where do you play your second string sides? You're going to, in England, you're going to stop them playing in the FA Cup, which has had a bit of a resurgence this year. You're going to stop them playing in the Carabao Cup. You know, all those sort of things. And in the league games where you think you can go and win, you won't play your full teams. And that's a worry for the domestic game all around Europe, I would say.
I don't like it. What's the point? Yep. Changing it. There we are.
Explain it again to me here.
Well, I don't want to now. In protest against it, you've got your one explanation, and that is it. Meanwhile, there is Champions League action coming up in a big game, of course, at the Allianz Arena. Bayern take on Lazio. 1-0 down going into this tie. Everybody believes that Bayern will advance. Mario says it will be via penalties. But in the end, despite their form, despite the criticism, are we all idiots? We'll find out tomorrow, and we'll discuss that on the next edition of the show. PSG, of course, also in action against Real Sociedad. Monday night action in La Liga would see Osasuna take on Alaves. Just the one goal would separate these two sides, and it would come in the 76th minute. Budimir with the goal that proved to be the winner.
Oh, great finish.
Lovely.
Phil Foden-esque. Coming in on his left foot and smashing it into the top corner. Great goal.
Is he the greatest player in La Liga, then?
Probably, yes.
Oh, there you go. A big win for Osasuna. The action continues then. This week on Friday, Barcelona, Montjuic taking on Mallorca. Saturday, Girona trying to get something going as they play Osasuna. And then on Sunday, slightly earlier, Real Madrid taking on Celta Vigo. Remember, the clocks go forward here in the States. They don't in Europe. So kickoff times compared to normal will be an hour later.
Are you sure
on
about
ESPN
that?
Plus, I'm 100%. I am all over everything. Fear not, Robbo.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. More tomfoolery, though, to come. Nadim and Mario will be at Shaq and Robert as well to answer some of your questions. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for all your questions. Mario and Nadim return. Shaka and Robbo are here. Let's start off with Arsenal, who won rather convincingly today, in case you missed that. Is this lineup that Arsenal has had for the past five or so matches actually their best? Rice getting forward with Jorginho providing build-up, which allows Kiwar to start for Zinchenko, and Havertz as target man over Jesus seems to allow Odegaard, Martinelli, Saka to play free. I feel this isn't really a question. More of a statement.
I think it is a statement. I mean, yeah, by Jorginho I've got problems with defensively, but at the Arsenal, for the Arsenal at the moment, he doesn't have to do a lot of defending. He's the player that's getting on the ball. He's allowing Rice to play further forward. Odegaard has been magnificent in recent weeks with his creativity. Havertz, I think, has led the line quite well. So probably, as long as Martinelli is fit and Saka playing the wide areas, this is probably their strongest lineup.
We heard, didn't we, when Jesus left Manchester City, Nathan, that he cried when he realised that he wasn't being selected as a forward. How do you think he's feeling now that Havertz is playing ahead of him?
Come on, don't do that, though. Don't do that. Yeah, but it's funny, the start of the season, everyone was killing Havertz. You know, Kvyat's coming in, everyone saying, why is he playing? But now, here we are, and it makes perfect sense. Lo and behold, people are being picked for a reason. But yeah, I'm sure he's greatly disappointed. And as the season progresses, I'm sure Arteta will say, I need you, I need you, I need you. But it's very hard to assume that you're needed when you're sitting down watching games for probably 60, 70 minutes a pop every weekend. Mm.
Robbo, if you were the manager of Sheffield United, what would you have said at half-time?
I think he's right to make changes. Because
how are you feeling as a sub coming on when you're 5-0 down?
Yeah, but the players that have been on there...
I feel as a sub again, pulled after 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody get pulled after 15 minutes.
I mean, I would have gone the other way and I'd have said, OK, we're going to, as Mario said, we're going to cause them a few problems. Let's go longer. Let's make a game of it. Let's not just sit back. They're destroying us if we sit back. Yes. Let's try and get the ball into the top third of the field. Let's play longer. Let's get it into the space. And let's see if Arsenal can defend.
Yeah.
The way they played was
were you ever asking for trouble. Where you were down by such a big margin?
The worst it was, we were 4-0 down when I was playing for West Ham against the title winners, Everton.
I have to put that in.
Yeah, they were the title winners against Everton at Goodison Park.
Yeah.
And ended up being 4-0 because they slowed it down. Sure. And we worked hard and tried to be professional. But yeah, it's not a good
How was your performance in that game?
I had the ball taken off me for one of the goals by Peter Reid, which I wasn't.
Wow, he's really old as well.
Yeah, so am I.
Mario, you were at Wigan, yeah? Was it at Wigan when you were down that much with Steve Bruce at halftime?
Yeah. I came off at halftime, but I tell you, honestly, it was the lowest I ever felt as a footballer, because when you come back
what
on
was
the field,
score?
What are you going to do? I think it was 9 or something. 9-1.
Oh, not half-time.
You don't know, you know it. It was at Spurs. And for me, of course, you know, when you go as an ex-Chelsea player to Spurs, they already had a go at me from the first minute. So you know that's going to happen. And then when they keep on scoring, you're also the captain on the field, so they're going to, you know, make you feel miserable. But I have to say, Spurs played a good game, and we were not ready to do anything. And what Robbo said, yeah, I totally agree. When I came to England, that they were teaching me how to put the problem on another place and far away from your goal. And we were not doing that because I think we played against Spurs and we felt like we could have them, but there was a problem.
I've stolen Sean's question, actually, so I'll read it now to Nadim and Shaka. What was the worst halftime score you ever had and what was it like in the dressing room? Nadim?
Yeah, I think it was 4-0 down in the Tyne-Wear derby. So we at Sunderland thought that we were going to be doing well at St James's Park, and lo and behold, we were getting absolutely battered that first half. And it's very humbling. Like the one with Sheffield United today, you can't even take it in isolation because this is a pattern that they've shown over the recent weeks against good sides. But when you're getting pounded like that in a game that's such a big game to you, like, you people are almost fighting with each other, that frustrated. The manager's sick to death of you. And interestingly, I don't know if this is a pattern, but the manager was Steve Bruce. So, yeah,
oh, wow.
He again told us we needed to go out there and try and show something to the fans that we're still left in the stadium.
Wow. Mind you, did Mario say he was captain of that Wigan team?
Yeah.
He didn't lead by example, did he?
I'm right in saying that Mario then paid for all the fans' tickets.
What about that game on the pitch?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes, yeah, that's exactly right. That game.
Yeah, thank you very much. Robbo trying to bring you down. I bring you up, Mario. Don't worry.
Hey, Robbo, what a lovely gesture.
I played with a heart. I played with a heart, but I lost the game, so then I gave them back whatever they paid for to come and watch us, because that was not football. That was a bad thing. And it worked out because, you know why? We needed the fans when we played at home.
Yeah,
they came
you didn't
up.
Do that
they
Peter
turned
Reed.
Up at when we played at home.
I think Mario was paid a lot more money than we were at that time. So you can say, there's a fiver.
It's a fiver.
Hey, I'm a winner, my friend. Easy.
That's all it cost the fans to go there. Have a bit of that,
Shaka.
I don't think I've ever been down by more than three at halftime.
Right.
Well, not too bad. So you can still feel, all right, we get a goal here.
Yeah.
Where was we can it? Make a game of this. No, I remember being down three at Everton with West Ham. Which I think we've been
the same game I was playing in then.
No. I think we lost that 1-5. Right before we lost 7 to Blackburn, I think it was.
That was your debut, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, really, it wasn't your fault. Did you ever notice fans getting up and leaving during a match, Naden? Were you embarrassed when you saw that happening?
Was I embarrassed? I think I was just embarrassed by just losing on the field anyway. But in fairness, a lot of fans, they kind of prefer to let you know what they think about the performance more so than just leave. If you know what I mean? So
You would have preferred
you can
if they
see
left.
Some of them leaving, and you can tell when the crowd's not great in your favour. No, because then when they leave, it means the ones that stayed are the ones who really want to tell you at the end of the game exactly how they feel. So that's the issue. So it's either they all leave, or it's just a few that are left. So yeah, it's a tough position to be in, but you know, everyone goes through it at some point.
Mario?
No, I, you know, when we lost that game, it was away from home. So then you might not, you're not so focused on if they're leaving or staying. I only had one game where our fans were banned. It was Ajax Feyenoord, and we went to the Rotterdam Stadium, and they had no Ajax fans. That's the only moment I had. And I tell you one thing, we understand why we become pros, because having your fans around you and them leaving early, it doesn't help you because it doesn't motivate us.
No, of course not. Shaq?
I've never been getting beat that early or that bad that early at home.
Right.
You know, if you're two down or three down in the last 5 minutes, fans leave, you understand. But it's never been that bad that early. So you see fans leaving after 15 or 20 minutes, as you saw at Sheffield today.
Well, that game at Everton, West Ham fans, and you'll know the West Ham fans, they decided to sing the whole of the game. Just to sort of, well, we're not enjoying the game, so we're going to have our knees up in the stands.
Oh, I see.
And we're going to sing and we're going to sing.
Okay.
And we're going to have a nice day out.
Oh, so it worked out all right for you.
It worked out okay, yeah.
Oh, that's okay. That's a shame. Naden, in your touchline and post-game role, which club has the best accommodations, amenities for someone in your position?
Is this producer Mike that sent this one in? Because he knows that the one that people love going to the most is going to the Spurs Stadium.
Because
it's newer, it's got, you know, all the nice bits of food in there. I see journalists and stuff so passionate about going to Spurs because the food's great, because they've got space, because the Wi-Fi is great. And all that, this is great. But then if you wanted to go to, like, Fulham, they're not interested. Yeah, I've seen the other side then. I've seen the other side, and those amenities and stuff are great. Everyone's friendly wherever you go. But if you want space and you want that good stuff, I think the Spurs Stadium is where people are desperate to get to, Dan.
So where's the worst, Luton?
I think it depends. Is it Luton? No, Luton, they were really friendly. It was really small, but they were really friendly, and they had to invest to make it better to be up to scratch for the Premier League. But I did see quite a few people who were at Fulham who weren't too best pleased with having to cram in and get, like, just a soup for their dinner. But again, I don't know.
This
is the way people do things. Should it matter? Probably not, but for some it does. No, I'm not going to get in trouble, Dan. Don't even start off. It was not Alexis.
It was definitely
not her, and I'm not going to have any slander against her.
So naughty,
not going to have that.
I'm a bit annoyed.
Never.
Just saying.
Not Alexis.
No, I know
Alexis.
What they do. After half time, they just go in. They don't watch the game anymore. They go in to have their.
No. Yeah. No, I tell you what.
Particularly at Chelsea.
What was interesting when I went from England to Spain? Spain don't care about journalists. No. You get nothing. You know, you may get a sandwich and that's it. But as opposed to, as Naden said, it's quite a thing.
Oh, it is.
Quite a competitive thing that the clubs go against each other to give the best food to the journalists.
Arsenal used to be brilliant when I was allowed in there.
that was a long time ago. That's back when Mario was buying tickets for everybody.
And what's the worst place you've been?
The worst place. I would say Fulham.
Fulham is getting a beating.
It's a tiny little area.
Right.
And there's a lot of journalists that go there.
I see.
It's a difficult one to go and get food and put your notes down and all that sort of stuff.
This is a very interesting way to start a question. We know Dan likes to smell Robbo. What are the panel's other favourite smells? The reason why this is a subject, because Robbo arrived slightly later yesterday because he was calling a game, and he smelled magnificent. It was a lovely scent.
Is it not the same today, then?
I can't really smell you. No, it wasn't as striking.
Well, there's another smell coming from this. That's the problem.
Maybe because Stevie was in the studio, so it was just a nice...
Oh, OK.
It was like the other end of the spectrum. Mario, what is your favourite smell?
I like Dove.
Oh, he likes what?
I don't know. It's...
Oh, no!
He's got that lovely studio there.
Mario's Spurs stadium. Yeah. Wi-Fi is great.
Mario, can you hear me again? Oh, he can't. No, all right. Oh, man, we'll never know his favourite smell.
No. I bet he smells nice, though.
Mario?
You can imagine, can't you?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. A lovely scent. The
most expensive aftershave or whatever you... cologne.
Yeah. Right, OK. How much would your bottle of cologne cost?
I get it when I go back on the plane, so it's...
Duty-free?
Duty-free, yeah. Always duty-free.
I see. Oh, there you go. Yeah, and what is it?
It's... Well, there's three I use.
Oh, look at
it's
this is like
Dior Anchorman. Om Sport. There we are.
Sorry?
Dior, Christian Dior Om Sport.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Dunhill, there's the other one.
Dunhill?
Yeah, Dunhill.
Oh. Very, very British.
Yeah, very, very British indeed.
It's very
there
British.
You are.
What about your smell?
Well,
you can't describe that, can you?
That just... Rough it.
Yeah, you don't wear cologne, do you?
Nah.
Oh, exactly. Check it, it's just this natural musk.
Oh, yeah.
it's the leather of these Maserati, that's what.
Hey! There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Nana, would you like to answer this question or go for the next question?
No, I can answer this one. I quite like the smell of, like, a bakery. You know, when you've got the smells croissants and things like that.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, fresh bread in the bakery. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Freshly cut grass.
Do you have candles in your house? Smelly candles?
Oh, useless. What's the point of candles? We've got electricity.
Well, to see.
Denise has them all over the place, doesn't she?
Yeah,
it's all
nice.
There's things you plug in.
No, they're dangerous.
Are they?
If you leave them in for too long and you leave the house, they could catch fire.
Oh, there we are. Thank you for the warning. There you are, everybody. It'd be a letter from the people who make them now.
That's not true.
Oh, nice court case for Robbo. Nadim, did you ever play as yourself in any of the FIFA video games when you were still playing? Do players take any sort of pride being in a video game?
Yes. A thousand times, yes. It all started, the first one I was on was football manager, or championship manager. Yes, yep. I played as myself for multiple seasons. And then when you arrive on FIFA, yes, I played as myself for multiple seasons. It's one of those things where realistically, like, you're a fan of football before you play it professionally. So all of a sudden, when you're involved in a game which you would have been playing anyway, it's like a huge sense of pride. Your friends love it, your family love it, and you get a chance to see yourself in there. Obviously, most of the time you're no good, but the mere fact that you now feature in the game which you've loved for so long, I think people are still doing it to this day because it's a huge step in that sort of progression of making it as a professional footballer, you could say.
I love that answer, Nathan. That is brilliant because that's exactly what most of us would do. You weren't around, obviously.
No, not when there were no video, but
you are now the voice of FIFA.
Oh, I'd love to be in a with Nedim or commentating on Nedim. I go, well, what was he doing there?
The best part of you commentating is that people who then take AI and make you swear a lot of people. That is
uncalled
for. I know.
Oh, they're brilliant. They're really good.
Uncalled for.
They may be very, very.
Oh.
You ever play as yourself, Shaq, back in the FIFA days?
I've never played those games.
Derek Ray
keeps telling me to shut up, doesn't he? Or is that what he does?
In much less polite terms than that.
Okay.
My mate's son is on the FIFA game.
The one who's gone to France?
We're in Frederick II, who's drafted by Colorado Rapids.
Yes.
He's on the game.
So
if I were playing FIFA, I'd use him in my team.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Very good. Oh, nice one. I like that. That's a nice way to end. Lucky Stephen Craig on here. They were very much poo-poo on all of that. We will be back here tomorrow to reflect on Bayern Munich against Lazio.
Big game.
Yeah, there it is. That's the sort of commentary you get on FIFA.
And reviewing plug-in smelly things.
Oh, Shaq, did you bring that back up?
No, I'm trying to get away from that.
You've got to have a full review now.
Oh, wait.
You've got to have a full review.